There was a young student of child behavior who frequently delivered a lecture called 10 Commandments for Parents. He got married and became a father, and the title of his lectures was altered to 10 Hints for Parents. And then he had another child, and the lecture became Some Suggestions for Parents. And after he had a third child, the lecturer, so the story goes, stopped lecturing. As parents, we do not have the luxury of walking away from our responsibility of raising our children and instilling in them godly principles, even when they're grown and out of the house. Sometimes they call it nagging, but we call it loving them. Is it not? Amen. So fathers, today, I just want to encourage you today to remind you that you have a bigger stake in raising your kids than you realize, and that's not a joke. So we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 6 here today. So you could pull it up on your phone. You could follow up on the screen. In verse 1, it says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it will be well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And these next few scriptures are what we're going to concentrate on here this morning. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." You didn't know that was in the Old Testament, did you? We read these are the words of Jesus when he is asked that, but it comes out of the Old Testament. How many know most of the New Testament is found in the Old Testament? Verse 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." In Proverbs 22, verse 6, this is our legacy, men. "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Father, we just are asking just for these next few moments just to enlighten us, just to encourage us, just to strengthen us, and maybe make us a little bit more aware as men today that we have a grave responsibility, a sober responsibility in raising our kids, Lord, that we are imprinting on them daily, Lord God, godly qualities. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you for our men. And today we're asking, God, just a special blessing upon them as we recognize their role that you have created them to fulfill. And we give you the praise and the glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to summarize this Deuteronomy chapter 6 in 3 points here today. Number one here today, fathers are to model their love for God. And we read that there in verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. These commandments that I give today, are to be on your hearts." They're not supposed to be just on paper. They're not just found in a book. It's not something we just teach them on Sundays. But men, they need to be written on your heart. You are the gospel, you are the Bible that maybe that some people will only read your life. And so we need to have these written on our lives. I have a saying that I came across at a men's conference in our district. And I probably shared it with you, and I'm going to probably share it. As long as I'm the pastor here, I'll continually bring it up. But it says, "The life you are living is the legacy you are living." Leaving. Let me say that again. "The life you are living is the legacy you are living." So we might be a little rough around the edges, but men, there are some places that we just cannot compromise in. And sometimes we often see value in the wrong things until it's too late. Our inheritance from our parents is more than just money and material things. It's more about that relationship. And you've probably heard this and read this before, the stages of a father's legacy. And what I want you to listen for is it begins with dad, goes to father, and then goes back to dad. It says, "At 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. At 7 years old, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. And that's when the kids will say, my dad is smarter than your dad. At 8 years, my father does not know quite everything. And at 12 years old, oh well, naturally my father does not know that either. And at 14 years old, oh father, get a clue. Verse 21, oh, it's not even father or dad anymore, it's my old man. He's kind of behind the times. He's kind of out of touch. In fact, what they're saying is, we're a bunch of idiots. At age 25, he knows more than I have given him credit for, because he's probably out of school, has a job, and maybe beginning a family. And so that kind of maybe knows a little bit. Age 35, before we decide, we'll get dad's opinion. At 50 years old, what would dad have thought about that? At 60, my dad knew more than I realized. And at 65, I wish dad was here so I could talk it over with him. Too bad we couldn't delete those ages from 8 to 35, right? And realize that our dads are a credible resource that God has given to us. So whatever stage you're at today, fathers, keep your hand to the plow and do not look back. Keep going forward. Keep doing what you need to do. Keep on living the truth. Keep on modeling God before your children. We were leaving church Sunday night, and I asked, I was talking to John, and you know, sometimes kids have attitudes. How many know that? My kid had an attitude. But anyway, I was encouraged by John. He said, it gets better. And I asked him, do you promise? He couldn't keep that promise. And he's one of my advisors, so I pray for him. Pray for me. So what we see is that fathers are to model God before their children. And secondly, fathers are to care for their children according to God's plan. It says there in that verse 7, it says, impress on your children, talk about them. That's very important. That word impress means to be accurate. It means to be remarkably clear. It means to be direct. Let's stop assuming that our children will know the difference between right and wrong. Let's stop assuming. Let's stop just putting it on the church as a responsibility of raising our kids to be spiritual individuals. How many know the world is influencing your children? And folks, the best place that we can influence our kids, believe it or not, we can blame the schools, we can blame our society, our culture, our politicians, but it begins in the home. We spend more time with our kids in home than we do anywhere else. So I encourage you today, let's stop assuming that our children know right from wrong. They need to be taught in the home. Father, sometimes we take a back seat to our wives and allow them to do the heavy work when it comes to raising our kids in the Lord. So we need to be very careful. When it was discipline in my house growing up, my dad did not move until my mom called his name in a certain tone. Men, you might recognize that tone. When your wife gets agitated to a point where it hits a certain pitch, you know you better move or you're going to be in trouble. Let me give you a bad example of impressing your values on children. There were parents who were concerned about their eldest son's use of profanity. They were counseled to slap the boy each time that he cursed. The next morning, as their sons came down to the table, the mother asked what they wanted for breakfast. And the eldest son said, I want some blankety blank 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 frosted flakes. So the father, taking the counselor's advice, slapped him as hard as he could. And as the son sat dazed on the floor, the father turned to the younger son and asked what he wanted for breakfast, to which he replied, well, for one thing, I sure don't want any frosted flakes. So we need to pray for wisdom. There is a delicate balance between discipline and grace. How many know that? And we need to know when to use them as we're raising and leading our children in the ways of the Lord. As much as we would like to say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out, That is not one of our options on a lot of levels. Amen? Words backed up with actions are the best way to impress our children with godly values. So, fathers, take care that you raise your kids according to God's plan. And the third thing I want to point out in this scripture here today is fathers play a primary role in teaching their children the truth about reality. I know roles have changed in our culture today. Mothers used to be more in the home than probably today over our culture and our society. But there's some truths in this here today, so take it for what it is that we're talking about. It is the father who should instruct the children in their understanding of the world from a conscientious and informed Christian worldview. It is the father who is essential for sending his children forth with a biblical view of reality and a faith in Jesus Christ that is rooted in solid understanding. Yes, it's both parents, but we're addressing fathers here today. We read in that scripture, verse 7, talk about them when you sit at home. And how many know that mom is the queen of the home, that the home really revolves around mom more than dad? Would you admit that? She is the center of the home. She keeps us all in check. She's the servant of the home, unfortunately. But she has more power in the home than probably us men. But we do have an influence in our home, men, so I'm not pushing that off. But we need to take responsibility, probably more responsibility, in our home. So talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road. We don't walk anymore, we drive, right? So when you're driving down the road, do you have spiritual conversations? One of the most fruitful times we have with our daughter is basically when she gets off of work or home from school, we ask how your day is. And so while we're driving down the road, we play Christian music in our vehicles, in our home. We don't listen to secular music. So think about it as we're doing this. As you're driving down the road, when you lie down, how many know when you go to bed at night, there has to be some debriefing of the day? How many know that kids will want to talk when it's bedtime? They choose that time to debrief. Driving Daniela home is often her debriefing. That's when she kind of unloads, okay, all the things that happened that day. And so there has to be a debriefing, right, that we can talk about life's lessons in the evening. And when you get up, how many are preparing your kids when they go to school or when they get up or do whatever they're doing? How many of you are giving them a scripture? How many of you are praying over them as you send them out? See, there's some meaning in this old-time scripture here in the Old Testament. It's good advice for us today. It says, tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. It's not going to, I'll skip that, my thought there. Verse 9, write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. How many of you have some Christian sayings and plaques and some things sitting around your house? How many know that's important? Because every time people look at me, every time your children, that's putting the word of God in them. And so there's a lot of good things that we can learn from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so I want to just quote from an older study here. And as I said, society has changed a little bit. But I think you'll understand the statistics are probably outdated. But the truth behind them is still relevant for us here today. Fathers, we have an important role in the spiritual development of our kids. So I want to look at the first one here. It says, if both father and mother attend church regularly, 33% children will end up regular churchgoers, and 41% will end up attending irregularly. So only a quarter of their children will end up not practicing at all. So we're talking about basically a 75% retention. It goes on and says, if a father is irregular and the mother is regular, only 3% of the children will subsequently become regulars themselves, while the further 59% will become irregulars, and 38% will be lost. So we jump from 75% down to approximately 62%. If the father is non-practicing and the mother is regular, only 2% of the children will become regular worshipers, and 37% will attend irregularly. So over 60% of their children will be lost completely to the church. So we've gone from 75%, 62% to 39%. So man, you have a lot of influence in your home. But this is kind of unique, the last one. It says, what happens if the father is regular, but the mother is irregular or non-practicing? The article says, amazingly, the percentage of children becoming regular goes up from 33% to 38%, with the irregular mother, and up to 44% with the non-practicing. This suggests that loyalty to the father's commitment grows in response to the mother's indifference to religion. So what's the conclusion to this study? It says, in short, the purpose of this study was to show that if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotion, only one child in 50 will become regular worshipers. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between two-thirds and three-quarters of their children will become churchgoers, which means they would be regular or irregular. That's a big difference. So one of the reasons suggested from this study was for the distinction is that children tend to take their cues about domestic life from home, from mom in the home, while their conception of the world outside comes from dad. So if dad takes faith in God seriously, then the message to their children is that God should be taken seriously. You have a great impact. Whether those, you can take those statistics for, with a grain of salt. But men, God designed the home to have a father and a mother. And God has designed men, you to be the spiritual leader in your home. Paul wrote about it, said that, you know, God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of the church, a man is the head of the woman. And we can fight that, we can fight against that thinking, but the truth is God has set up a hierarchy system, a spiritual system. And when we buck that, look at our culture today. We have bucked the system. And so I want to encourage you today, men, that you have an essential role, and I encourage you, be the spiritual leader. Yes, bring them to church. That's a good thing. But be also a spiritual influence in the home. You necessarily don't always have to be the leader in the home, but you need to be present, and you need to have your influence on their lives. So just going through this here today, it kind of confirms the essential role of the father as a primary spiritual leader within the home. It's no mistake that we have phrases like daddy's little girl, father like son, he is his father's son, because the influence of the father is very, very powerful. So, fathers, your influence is immeasurable. You are making imprints on your life for good or for bad, really. But you are needed to encourage spiritual values in the life of your children. When God gave these instructions to Israel in Deuteronomy, they were not suggestions, but they were commandments. They are something that we are to practice. They are something we're supposed to live. They are things that we are called to do. And so that's why I named this message, Fatherhood is No Joking Matter. It's not a joke. The world has made it a joke. Television and movies have made it a joke. But men were not jokes. We are part of God's initial plan. Who did God create first? Adam. Right? He created a man. He created the first father. And so I want to encourage you today just to think about it, just pray about it and say, Lord, how can I become the spiritual leader in my home? And I'm not just talking about fathers in a household. Grandfathers, you have a major impact. A lot of times, grandfathers have more impact on their kids and their grandkids, rather their grandkids, than the regular fathers. So don't take it And don't short sight that you don't have also a responsibility when they're with you to take those opportunities just to love on them and show them how much you love God and set there before them an example. Amen? So we're going to ask our men, once again, fathers, if you will stand where you're at today, because we want to pray over you. We want to pray God's blessing over you. And moms, you know, raising kids is a big job. And moms, you know, there are many times you wish he would have did more than he did. But today, we want to encourage you. And we're asking wives, encourage your husbands. Not nag them, right? Not put them down, but qualify them. Remind them that, hey, you're my life partner. We're doing this together. Ladies, lay your hands on these men. Kids, lay your hands on your fathers. Amen. Yeah, scary. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you right now and we lift up our men to you. Lord, we are so grateful to have so many present here today in this service today. And Father, we want them to know that you love them, that you are proud of them, and that they are your sons. And that, Father, yes, they have an important role to play within the family unit. Lord, you need them. You've called them. You created them. You put them together with their wives, Lord, to be leaders, to be influences on their children. And Lord, we're praying, Lord, that we can raise up our children, Lord, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. We're praying today, Lord, that you will give us the right attitudes, that you will give us the right words, the right actions, Lord. That, Lord, the examples that we're setting, Father, are the examples that they will probably follow. I'm praying today, Lord, as if we would examine our lives, Lord, and if there's some sketchy areas of our life, or if there's some areas that we've kind of compromised and talked ourselves into thinking that this is okay, Lord, we need to remember there are people following us. There are eyes that are watching us, ears that are listening to us, and that, Lord, they're going to follow in our steps. And even though we may not want them to do what we're doing, Lord, they will follow our example and not our words. So I pray today, Father, just an increase of your anointing as men here today. The anointing and the mantlehood of fatherhood will be taken seriously in their life, Lord. That they will be the priest of their home. That they will be the leader of their home. The major influence in their home. And that they will be demonstrators of you, our Heavenly Father. Lord, we talked about here today that they are to model the love of God because it's in their heart. And I pray, Lord, that they would truly love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, that they would raise their kids according to your plan, according to your word, Lord. Not the way we were raised, not what we think is right or wrong, but according to your word. And Lord, that they will take on the role of being the teacher to their children, Lord. The truth about reality, Lord. Lord, our world is falling apart and we need godly fathers, Lord, to train up godly children. And so, Father, we just ask once again your blessing upon them. Lord, I pray they will be blessed by their kids, by their families today, that they will be recognized, they will be honored. And I just ask, Lord, that they remember, Lord, how much you care for them. And how much, Lord, you are in their corner fighting for them. We love you, Jesus, and I just give you the praise and the glory for each man that's in this auditorium, that's listening to my voice, to those that were on the stage ministering today. Lord, we're just so grateful that you have blessed this church with men, not just men, but godly men, men that are leaders. And we appreciate you, Lord, and we give you the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.